You know, I don't know why, but when I was in middle school, one of the class periods, you had a choice to go and take French or typing. And I just didn't like the language French. I've never been really a big French fan. I don't know why, but decided to take typing, although, you know, who was ever going to need to know how to type? Now think about that a minute. Back in the 70s, we didn't have computers. There were manual typewriters. That's all we had. I remember telling my daughter, Beth, I said, you're going to need to learn to know how to type. And she says, Dad, I'll never use a computer in my life ever. We smile about that now. But I'm glad I learned to type, but my fingers are... God has tried to help my world, but my fingers get confused sometimes. And I sometimes... Do you know what a Freudian slip is? You say something that might mean more of your subconscious speaking out or whatever, you know. But when I get to typing and I'm typing fast, I'll be typing along and I'll type the United Methodist Church and it will come out the untied United Methodist Church. Paya, do you have that slide? See, is it united or untied? You see the difference there? And it just has been my whole life long, ever... All through my career in the ministry, there are times that I type, I think I'm typing United, and it comes out untied. It's curious to have that be the case. I mean, this is Unity Sunday, or we're talking about a... Nalu just told us about how good unity is. And yet one of the things that's coming up, we're coming up on annual conference, and they will report on the schism. Do you remember, we began to talk about it in 2019, there was a huge debate in our church over the issue of homosexuality, and churches were disagreeing, and we just couldn't come to resolution. We've been trying for 50 years. We've been trying since the 70s. They were trying to work through this, trying to figure it out, and they just, two sides that could not agree. So there was a decision that maybe we needed to let some of those who just couldn't agree with some of those others to allow what's called disaffiliation. And so that has begun this year. COVID got in the middle of it, got everything confused. You never got a report back. And I don't have very much real good information, but some churches have disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church. I am basing my statistics on an article by Eric Strader. He's a United Methodist clergyman that I know personally. It was in an article, Colorado Springs Gazette. And he said that about 10% of the churches in the Western jurisdiction have disaffiliated. The Western jurisdiction is going to be from Colorado west, the whole western side of the U.S. perhaps. And about 1 out of 10 churches decided they needed to just step aside and become a different church. In Texas, 40% disaffiliated. And worldwide, the average, according to Strader, was around 16%. So that percentage of our churches have disaffiliated, have split. And some have joined a new denomination. It may be World Methodist Church, it may be Global Methodist Church, I'm not sure. Is it global? Thank you. So they have formed another denomination, if you will. Godspeed. May we find peace and find Christ through all that is going on. And it's painful, though, to be talking about a split in the church, a schism. It's not the first one. I don't know if you knew, but back in... When the United American colonies split off and we began our own journey, we had the Methodists, and it became the Methodist Episcopal Church, and so that's what it was. John Wesley sort of started it in England. It started here in America, but we didn't really get along with England at that time. So American Methodism is very unique from a Methodist church in Britain. If you go to United Methodist Church there. I understand it's quite different. I'd love to try it someday. Probably won't get that chance, and that's all right, neither here nor there. But we were the Methodist Episcopal Church until 1845, when there was a schism. The church broke in half again, or earlier, that is, in our history, over a different issue, slavery. If you know your dates and your American history, that was the Civil War. The war was fought. The most casualties of any conflict this nation has ever experienced. Certainly a large number of those because medicine was so primitive, and the slightest injury would be devastating, would be deadly. That division lasted until 1939, when the merger, they merged back together to become the Methodist Episcopal Church. And then in 1969, we merged again with the United Brethren to become the United Methodist Church. Odd that the pastor's talking about all these schisms when we're hearing from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Do you feel that way about the nation right now? I would ask for a show of hands, but I really don't want to know. We are feeling a little bit untied, aren't we? One would think that we as Christians could be united in all things together, that we would find unity. And then I got to looking at the apostles. You know that the 12 apostles, you've seen pictures of them, you've seen the Last Supper, you've heard them named. They were all exactly alike and thought alike, right? Wrong. There were warriors there. There were peaceniks. They didn't call them that in the day, but doves or gentle, or whatever you want to call them. There were believers who would believe and be faithful and follow unquestionably. And today we heard about Thomas, a doubter. Unless I see, and unless I experience the Lord for myself, I will not believe. There were educated apostles. But in an age when 98% of the population was illiterate, I think more apostles were probably illiterate than literate. I don't know for sure. That specific data point isn't really lifted very far. But there were some very well-educated and some very uneducated. There were some wealthy ones. Matthew the publican, tax collector, he was certainly very, very wealthy. And there were some dirt poor ones, maybe some poor fishermen. I apologize. I do believe that the pollen is flying, isn't it? I would blame the Easter lilies, but they're silk. So here it was. Did Jesus just, was he not aware when he called the apostles that he was getting such a rabble gathering? I don't believe that. I bet you don't either. He developed, he grew this gathering that was his following from a very diverse group. They did not agree on many things, and in fact, after his death, they struggled for a while without his leadership. But they united around him somehow in some way. They were not even from the same ethnic regions. They didn't all have the same history. Some of them had a lot more Greek upbringing than Jewish. And so there were the whole gamut of people gathered there. Did you hear the VBS song? You were singing along to it. Move to the left, move to the right. Could be a song about our country today. Could be a song about how, as we Christians, we need to kind of be open and willing and be able to be in both. Be where we are, but be open to others as well. The apostles were not homogeneous. Do you know that word, homogeneous? Homogeneous meaning one color, unified. They were very, very mixed, very much diversified. Out of that diversity, there came unity. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that it has been the history of humanity to find those who are different and make them an enemy, xenophobia. When I was growing up, we had chickens. Anybody raised with chickens? Not very many, but one day I was working on the rototiller, and I don't know how I managed to do it, but I managed to splatter one of the hens with oil. Not bad. She moved pretty quick, but I got her with some black spots of oil that splashed on her feathers. I told my mom, she says, where, and rushed out there. And I thought, what's the big deal? The hen didn't care, didn't do any damage. She says, the other hens will find that speck and see her, and they will peck at it and peck at her until they kill her. That difference, that something, and they're not aware of it, if they weren't aware that they're hurting her necessarily. Unfortunately, in our human world, all too often we are aware of those differences. It is also an inflamed tendency. Do you remember the musical? Do I remember the musical? Thank you. First musical I've ever gone, Music Man. Thank you, very good. I had to back up and get to the 76 trumpets and all of that stuff. Professor Harold Hill's a con man, and he comes into town, and he's there to raise money. But he says, well, I got to save the town from the terrible trouble it's in. And this fellow says, well, the town's not in any terrible trouble. Everything is going along pretty well, actually. He says, well, we got to manufacture some trouble then. He says, is there anything new or different? Well, they brought a pool table into town. It's new. He says, there we go. We're going to make the pool table a terrible thing. We got trouble right here in River City, capital T that starts with trouble, that starts with rhymes with P that stands for pool. Boy, did I butcher that. But finding a cause to unite people around is as old as this humanity. And we are in a society that does that and unfortunately responds to it. And so if we are about that, we need to be aware that we are being manipulated intentionally and find a unity around Christ. Paya, do we have that next slide? I don't know how to picture unity. I did a Google of unity in Christ. That's a real interesting, iconic sort of image, but different colors gathered around, joining hands. And as I have experienced the United Methodist Church, it is what we should be about. Our district, our conference, our church, our pretty darn good at diversity. We have learned how to be a diverse gathering of people, a group of people that understands each other and tries to. I have to laugh at my brother, Neo. He tries to teach me tongue and words, and my old gray ears, they're just slow to pick up. God bless him for being patient with me. But there are differences in our culture. There are differences about where we came from. differences about who we are, what we're about, what we think, and all of those things, and yet we can find some inclusivity. In Jesus' time, there were lepers. You remember hearing about lepers? Any kind of skin affliction could be called leprosy, and the people ostracized. Jesus included them. And prostitutes, people you should not ever be around, women that, if Jesus knew this woman who was wiping his feet, he would send her away. And yet he included her. And Gentiles, people traditionally outside of the Jewish tradition, Gentiles, which basically includes all of us. Thank God for that inclusiveness that brought us in. And I won't even get started on women. You've heard me talk about that. The psalm, did you hear it? It always tickles me. It is lovely, like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard and on the beard of Aaron running down over the collar of his robes. That doesn't sound so wonderful to me, but it must have been something impressive and pleasant in its day and time. That's how lovely is unity and people who are unified and who live together pleasantly. Psalm, long before Jesus, but a point for us to remember. We don't have to be the same. We don't have to be homogeneous. In our diversity, we can find unity. Think about that a minute. Think about how it adds all of the color of the rainbow. It adds all of the dimensions of life. And it challenges us to believe in and what we believe and how we believe in how to love one another. So we come together. I had to think about unity, and I thought about my family. There were six of us growing up. There was not unity there. I thought our family must be the oddballs, because I bet everybody else's family got along just fine, perfectly all the time, right? I didn't hear a lot of people agreeing with that. So this is how we are. We are different. And John Wesley, who help get this ball rolling, this thing that we call, this strange method of worship we call Methodism. He said, if your heart is as my heart, then give me your hand. He understood. And it was divisive then. There were differences. There was xenophobia. There was fear. There were ostracizations. There was all of the divisions. And yet, we can be unified around Christ. So on this communion morning, we come to a table. It is Christ's table. Pastor Neil and I will stand behind it and work through the elements, but it belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him and the truth that we seek and follow, and He invites all to come forward. Let's turn to Jesus' table. Amen.